great to be able to come together to worship God, to hear the words that God is speaking to us about how much He just desires to do things through us. That's what I'm hearing today. I'm hearing the Lord speak to us about how He wants to use each and every one of us to touch the lives of other people. And I think that is such a precious, precious gift that God gives to us. He gives us that opportunity to do that. Now, for those of you that may not know me, I haven't been here for a few weeks. I was on vacation with my wife, Jen. I'm Pastor Todd. I'm the lead pastor here at Eastside City Church along with my wife. And it's just so, so awesome to be here today, to be home. Who here knows that you can go on vacation and you can do a lot of things and it's great, it's fun, it's refreshing. And then there just comes that point where you're like, you know what, it's just time to go home. I want to sleep in my own bed. I don't want to be eating out every meal. I want to actually just kind of chill and relax at home. And I say this, I'm so excited to be here with you. Missed you, missed our church family. And I believe that that we're just in a great season here. And as you can see today, we have our baptismal tank that is set up so that at the end of the service, I mean, these are exciting days that we're going to be able to celebrate people making a decision to make a declaration that Jesus is the Lord of their life. And I'm praying that each one of you will stick around and celebrate with them as they enter those waters of baptism. And as well, I want to remind you as well, next Sunday after church is our team train. It's if you are a volunteer or you are interested in volunteering, which I am praying, I'm believing, I'm going to be declaring that the whole church is going to be at this place. There will be a lunch, childcare, and great opportunities to find your spot at Eastside, and an even greater place to meet Jesus, to help people meet Jesus and become more like Him. Amen? All right, well, let's dive into a little bit today. One of the great joys I experienced while I was on my vacation was driving to Eugene, Oregon with my son to watch one of my favorite sporting events, an Oregon Ducks football game. I am a full-on 100% Oregon Ducks fan. My family has had season tickets to the Oregon Ducks for 50 years. I own them now. I know it sounds crazy. I live in Calgary, and I own the season tickets to their tickets that are 15 rows up on the 40-yard line. I just sell them off every year because they go like hotcakes, but they're still in my name, and that's kind of my legacy. So my son and I actually got to sit in those seats, and I remember from the drive down to Interstate 5, it was bumper to bumper with decked out cars. I'm talking full of streamers, full of flags. To the jam-packed parking lot filled with barbecues, people playing touch football, the marching band. It is so awesome. And even though it was 35 degrees, ooh, and my team struggled with the team they shouldn't have struggled in, it was a tremendous, tremendous day. The reason I'm sharing this is most of you know I really enjoy sports. In fact, I love sports. And if you don't know this about me yet, if you haven't heard this from me, most of you do that have been a part of our church, know that I love to coach. I've coached basketball for many years. I even coached baseball this year with my son. And I love team sports because it's an opportunity to not only help people grow and improve as individuals, but also enjoy seeing those individuals come together through self-sacrifice and teamwork. Each person doing their part to achieve victory. So this year, Isaac and I coached a baseball team of 14 to 18-year-olds that won their league championship. Hey, come on. All right. Not about me. And even though the outcome was great, I'm going to say this is probably one of the most difficult groups I've ever coached. The kids were incredibly talented. In fact, probably one of the most talented teams I'd ever been able to coach. But they were a bit soft. Can we use that word, soft? Both physically and emotionally. Sore muscles could be perceived as injuries. Many times the weather was either too hot or too cold. One bad play or one bad call could ruin the whole game for some of them. But the biggest challenge for a few of my players was just responding to coaching or a bit of correction. And this was one of my favorite moments. This kind of summarizes what I'm talking about today. That after a game, I confronted them for ignoring some of the in-game instructions. They just kind of blew me off. And I don't know if you've been around coaches. We tend not to get excited about that. But I tend to be fairly even-keeled for the most part. And he said, Coach, I listen to this. This is what he said to me. Coach, I heard what you said, but I just got to do me. And I know we lost, but I need to play my game. Now, I was in shock for two reasons. Both, I couldn't believe the audacity that he had, but also his honesty. It was just like right out there. There was nothing to hide. And from a coaching or team perspective, what he was saying was not workable for me. I told him, that's okay. You can do you on the bench. But it got me thinking. And here's where we're going to kind of begin to shape things and frame things today. It got me thinking, is that not what he said, the reality of how we live a lot of times in our own lives? The things we do, the time we spend, the effort we give, not framed around this thought, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? Or how is what I'm going to do to benefit me or my family? Or if I don't see the benefit, I'm opting out. I'm not going to do that. See, over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to be in a new series that we're starting today called What's In It For Me? And when it comes to faith, living, and serving, what motivates our attitudes and actions? What is it that motivates us to do what we do? How do we find peace and the gift of joy in every area of our lives? Who'd like to find more peace and more joy? I know that I do. And why the church? Is the church an essential community for Jesus followers or an optional gathering we attend as needed? What does winning in life look like? And is it something we do for ourselves only or something we achieve together? What's in it for me? Even though we think like this more than we care to admit when it comes to our relationships with our spouses, our friends, our church family, and even God, we usually don't come out and say it that way. It's the silent part that we keep to ourselves because honest truth like that just sounds a bit harsh, maybe selfish, and not cool, especially for a Christian. But we do. We give subtle hints, either through our nods of approval to things that we agree with or we enjoy, or if we are feeling like it's not, we give our cold indifference. We speak these thoughts through our willing participation, the things that we give our time to. I've said this a long time. We vote with our feet what we believe in. Or we hope our noble excuses will mask our true feelings or beliefs. I do not like this or believe there's anything for me. I remember the first time that I gave blood. Anybody here given blood, donated blood through the Red Cross or donation thing? Just a little backstory. My grandfather had transported blood for the Red Cross for years. He would take it from our city, Longview, which was about 40 minutes from Portland, Oregon. He would drive it there and transport it back and forth. So I was vaguely familiar with the donation sites because sometimes I rode along with him. And I knew enough about the process that I was not particularly interested in doing it. I remember the Red Cross slogan. Who remembers this? It's in you to give. Well, my slogan is, if it stays in me, I will live. But at the age of 22, I had a change of heart, and I gave blood for the first time. Now, I know it was like, wow, something happened. Well, here's what actually happened. I want you to understand. I was a typical poor college student, and I was wandering around the campus, and I walked in on a blood drive. And though I was a bit nervous, somebody came up to me and said, hey, you should do this. It's great. We're trying to do this. And I was like, yeah, that's awesome. But I was quickly persuaded to give it a try because I was promised when it was over, I could have all the cookies, all the chips, all the soda pop, basically all the food I wanted. Now, hello, for a penny-pinching, always hungry student, that was a gold mine. And don't get me wrong, saving lives was a great and noble cause, but what was in it for me was the free junk food. And honestly, I'm still pretty much a weak spot for free food. See, truth is, by nature, we are motivated by things that help us or please us, aren't we? We are. Can we just all be honest a little bit more today? You know, sometimes I know even as pastors, we get into like, well, that doesn't sound really spiritual, Pastor Todd, or biblical. And we're going to get into the biblical side of stuff here in a minute. But the reality of it is, if we're really honest with ourselves, we look at things through that filter, through that lens. We will make sacrifices for those things that fill our wants and or supply our needs. We'll camp out for the best spots at the Stampede Parade. We'll be the first one in line for a sale at a store if we know that we can get a better deal. We will drive great distances for a concert or a sporting event. We are motivated to do lots of crazy things as long as it ultimately benefits us. Am I telling the truth? And these motivations are strong. Some of these things are our needs. We need food. We need shelter. We need things to care for our family. There are needs, but there's also desires for love and passion and things that make us happy. There's a need for personal safety and self-protection, but there's also the desire for fun and happiness and self-fulfillment. And even though this is our likely reality of how we're motivated, is it good or is it healthy? And here's my question today. How does it line up with our walk with God and other believers, and especially to the Bible? And I want to say this. Me can benefit me as long as me doesn't get in the way of thee. See, there's nothing wrong with having nice stuff or enjoying life. You need to hear that. Because there's some Christians that have taken this thing like, well, I just gotta, the more I suffer, the more difficult it is, the more painful it is in my life. You know, that means I'm honoring God more. No, it just means it's more painful and it's more suffering. Even though God at times will ask us to make sacrifices. In fact, as I read the Bible, there's a lot of sacrifices. There's a lot of things that are difficult. You know, it's okay to pursue friends and relationships that bless you. It's okay. It's great to look for moments and experiences that enrich your life. There's nothing wrong with avoiding, here's the other side, unhealthy or toxic situations. You're not called just to stay in things that are completely messed up and broken. See, taking care of me is okay when I align myself with the call of God and the will of the Spirit. But to do so requires two words that do not bring me immediate joy: surrender and submission. Hallelujah. You see, me typically doesn't like surrender nor submission. Me does not like to do most things, honestly, that do not please me or benefit me. Most of us go to work not because we want to. Who here, if you had enough money, somebody said, here you are, you have $10 million, you'd be like, I'm quitting my job tomorrow. You don't have to raise your hand. Don't. Whew. Your boss might be watching. I was looking at my staff right now. Yet here's where it gets crazy. Me, listen to this, me surrendering to God and his will is the key to receiving blessings, finding true joy, and experiencing peace. See, outcomes that actually benefit you and I to the max. Stuff that does not only help us, but it blesses everyone around us as well. You see, when our motivation is centered around others through Jesus and not upon ourselves. Here's the thing, we experience the best in life and living, and that's my belief. You see, the lie out there is somehow if we we follow God, we serve God, we do the things that God is asking us, if we follow his word, which I'm about ready to read to you here, is that somehow we're going to miss out on good things. But yet it's the opposite, it's the key. It's the open door to face to be able to experience the really good things that benefit me, but they benefit you. In Philippians 2, verses 1 to 5, Paul confirms this, and he says this. He starts off with a question. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Who here knows that occasionally we need to visit the doctor? I don't particularly enjoy it. Even though I think I enjoy going to the doctor probably a fair bit more than the dentist. Even though the doctor can be a little bit more harsher in some of their diagnosis. And it could be because we're not feeling well, we need assurance about a change we've noticed, or it's time just for a health assessment. There's a lot of reasons we go to the doctor. And here's what usually happens after waiting in the reception area that you went through traffic, you've fought through people to get there on time, you'll wait. And in the waiting reception area and in the examination room, the doctor always begins your time with them by asking a series of questions. Like, hey, how can I help you? What are you here for? Where does it hurt? How long have you had this issue? There's a lot of questions. Why? They are trying to assess what's going on with you. And in Philippians 2, Paul starts off this chapter, and he's talking to the church in Philippi, but he's talking to the people, and he's talking to us, because how do you know, I want you to know this today, that we are the church. He says, how are you doing? Basically, what he's asking, are you experiencing the good things Jesus promised to you? Are you finding connection through meaningful relationships? If not, let me tell you how you can do this. And so he starts off, or he gets into it, and he says, it begins with not only looking out for your own interests, but also making it a priority to look out for the interests of others. Wow. Is that what it says there? Do not look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Oh, wow. You can't do this if you only look out for yourself or you live by yourself. You see, we were created to grow in life, to experience life, to have the fulfillment in life through community. Through the people that we connect our lives with. And there are many communities that we can connect with. We can connect with our work community. Each of us probably has a job that we go to. There are people that are there, some that we probably really enjoy being around, others that we can't wait to go home. I talked about coaching today. There's sports teams. We have teammates, coaches, friends. And if you play in a particular sport long enough, you'll have some people come and go, but there's usually a core group of people that they kind of become your group. They're a community. How about neighborhood groups like scouts, cadets, dance, band, theater? I mean, there's all sorts of things you can join. They're communities. They're little communities where people focus around a common theme, a common thread to do something together. Even school communities. They're all great. But those aren't the communities that Paul's talking to when he's writing this. because they're all limited in their scope and their time period. You see, work cohorts are great, but who knows, jobs come and go. People that work at those jobs come and go. Sports teams are awesome, but they're seasonal, ever-changing, and I know this close and personal. There's kids that I've coached a lot of times, but I'll have them sometimes for 3 months, and then they'll be on a different team next time. Neighborhood groups like Scout and Dance and Theater, they're the same. There's just a lot of movement, and even school communities. I mean, we've got a great school here at Archer, Cheeside Christian Academy. What a great community. Lots of great people spending time. I mean, when you're in a school community, especially like a homeschool community or a private school, man, you're sometimes with people like for like 9, 12 years. 13, you got to count kindergarten, sorry. But here knows there's a beginning to an end of those seasons. They don't last forever. And so the group that Paul is talking about is the church. See, it's the only community that's centered completely around Jesus that has a place for everyone from the time you're born till the time you go to meet Jesus. There's a place for everyone. And for all its flaws, I'm going to say this, folks, and there's a lot of flaws, and they come out in the news all the time. We have leaders that struggle with things, people that struggle with things. It's still the greatest, greatest community on earth. It has the most potential, the most opportunity to help people, to reach people, to change people, to transform people, because God loves the church. So for all, including me, to experience the benefits of what God calls of this community, what's he saying? Well, what should our relationship be? And I want to say this. I know sometimes as today I'm kind of introducing some things, and we're going to go deeper into this over the next few weeks. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be exciting. But we might hear some things today where you're going to kind of be like, I know that. I've heard that before. If you've been in church for a while, you're probably like, I've heard that. But I want to say something, and you'll probably hear me say this a lot over the next little while, the next season. God doesn't want us to just to know. It's not good enough just for us to know. What he really desires, it's for how we live. Do we live these things? Not just do we know these things. It's not that we know God's word, but do we live his word? So here's the three things that it says. Let me just look at which verse that is. I want to pull that back here. It says it in verse 2. First of all, he says, here's how you can experience it. Agree wholeheartedly together. I love the word wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly means, well, with your wholeheartedly. No, it means fully and completely. There's nothing held back. When I was on vacation, one of the things that, you know, I miss when I'm in Canada is it's hard sometimes to get really, really good Mexican food. But when I'm in the States, and I like enchiladas. And the enchiladas I ate while I was on vacation, now those babies were slathered with beans and rice and mole sauce, and nothing was left uncovered. Hallelujah. And when I finished having this meal, there was a complete fullness, wholeheartedly, that led to contentment. You catching my drift here today? You see, to agree wholeheartedly, as it says in the NIV, it says to be like-minded or of the same mind. What does it mean? What is he talking about? It means that we surrender conflicting opinions for the sake of agreement. We all have opinions. We all have thoughts. And we're not just talking about personal agreements. Like, well, let's just come to your agreement or my agreement. It's not my way or your way, but the agreement he's talking about is to come to agreement with the Word of God. But when we're not sure, what does the Bible say? And I know we can interpret different things, but for the most part, that's not what the biggest issue is. It's having the mind of Christ or Jesus. Who would agree we need more people these days with the mind of Christ? Things would probably work a lot better if more people had the mind of Christ, agreeing wholeheartedly together. And then he says, number two, we're called to love each other. One of the greatest characteristics of the church is that it's open to everyone. And when I say everyone, I mean everyone. Nice people, mean people, happy people, sad people, cheerful people, and even grumpy people. My wife's relied to remind me, even though you're a little grumpy, it's God bless you, God love you. It's for all of us. And one of the greatest things that God did in establishing in the church is it teaches us to love people. Because we have people that are so different from us, people that come from so many different backgrounds, so many different life stories, so many different challenges that we've faced, so many things that we've experienced. Some of us born in different nations, different family situations, and yet the beautiful thing about it is God says, I want to bring all of this together, and we're called to love each other. You see, we didn't get to choose each other. Now, nobody's allowed to raise their hand here. Who would choose some other? No, I'm just kidding. We did not choose each other, but God chose us. And we grow stronger together, and our faith deepens together the more that we love each other. You see, that's where the fruit of the Holy Spirit begins to come out of our lives as we learn how to be patient. We learn how to walk in kindness. We learn how to have greater faith. We learn how to be more long-suffering. We learn how to share joy in all situations. That's what you do together. And as we learn to love each other, that allows the Holy Spirit to push out the negativity, the anxiety, and other unwanted attitudes. See, as we just allow God to push more of his love into us and we extend it out, it pushes out all of that negative stuff. And as we love each other, we become more like Jesus, experiencing his joy, his peace, and his blessings. But I love what he says, his third point. He says, work together. One of the signs that we're jumping into fall, and I'm going to start to wrap up here if Catherine wants to come, or JJ's on the keyboard here today. One of the signs that we are jumping into fall is the sound of geese honking in the sky. Now, for some of you, that's a sad moment because you realize your summer just is, it's fading. As the geese go south, you're like, there goes summer. It's going south too. But I know there's some people, you love the fall. Fall is, you look forward to it. Just the harvest, the fun, the warmer days, the cool evenings. I do like it myself. But here's one of the things as we see the geese, as they begin to migrate south towards the warmer climates, the recognizable V formation is seen in the sky. And the flying V is a picture of teamwork, as Paul says, working together. As the front goose leads the flock, he pushes forward, creating a draft lane for the geese behind so they don't need to work as hard. As they honk encouragement, you don't realize that's what they're doing. They continue to push forward until he continues to push forward until he becomes tired. And once he begins to tire, he drops to the rear of the formation, allowing the next goose to lead while he regains strength while drafting behind the goose in front of him. You see, when people come together around a common purpose or a common person, they discover they can accomplish more together than they can alone. You've all probably heard this acronym, TEAM, together everyone achieves more. When I surrender me by serving others, I discover me who I truly am. See, life is released through sacrifice. What's in it for me? I don't know, genuine friendships, growth and maturity, joy and happiness. You see, when you're free from self, you're free to experience all of the great things. And when you're not worried about, well, how's this gonna impact me? And you're just like, God, I trust you. We receive more of his goodness and his grace. We accomplish greater things. So how do we do this? We gotta strive to. He talks about we need to be humble. We need to consider, not to consider ourselves better than other people. We're all on a journey. We're all in different places. We all have different challenges and struggles. But we serve an incredible God. He says we got to resist selfishness and pride. Don't consider yourself more deserving than other people. One of the things that I see that's happening in this day, in this hour, so many people are entitled. I deserve this. I deserve that. I should get this. I should get that. Things they haven't even sacrificed for or worked for, but yet we've got to we can't consider ourselves more deserving than other people. And then lastly, we got to serve others, he says. See, we can't consider helping a waste of time. I love what it says in Galatians 5:13, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. And here's what he says. This is so great. Paul writes this, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. You see, as we serve together, we become more like Jesus. In helping others, we learn that we help ourselves. And my challenge for you as we start this year is to join with others, to reflect and look at as we start this fall season of how can I help those around me? How can I serve them? You see, I'm believing that God wants to do great things for you personally, but as well for our community. That he wants us to have a greater impact on the community of Abbeydale, the communities of Applewood, and we can go on to the properties of Marlboro, Pine Ridge, Pembroke. How about even west to these new communities, or east, sorry. That are developing all around us. There's people that need to experience who God is. And they're going to experience it when they see people who are just sold out to Jesus. Let's believe what God will do through us. In Hebrews 10:24, it says, let us think of ways to motivate each other to acts of love and good works. The less it's about me, the more it benefits me. Come on, that is the word of God. So here's my prayer today. We're going to wrap our time up. We're going to have some water baptisms here in a moment. I just want to do two things really quickly. First of all, I pray that right now that maybe God would speak to you today. Maybe this is your need. Maybe you'd be honest in this moment, and that's this: God, would you help me to love others like I love myself? Heads bowed just for a moment. Heads bowed, eyes closed just for a moment. Who here would say, God, I could use a little bit of help with that, to love others like I love myself? You'd be honest, you don't always have patience for other people. You don't always think of other people the way that you should. In fact, other people kind of annoy you a lot. Come on, I got my hand up here with you. There's times driving on the highway in the States, those crazy drivers. Or maybe this is where you're at. Maybe help me to trust you, God, as I serve others, that I will find fulfillment. Maybe you've been in situations at times where you've just, yeah, it's just hard to see it. There's so much going on in your life and your world. But you hear God even saying to you, maybe I should consider just stepping out a little bit more to help with others and trust that God is going to take care of the things I need. If God's speaking to you, would you just raise your hand right now if you're just like, Yeah, I could use some grace in that area. I could use some help. Father, you see these hands. You see each of the people that are here today. And Lord Jesus, you've called us, Lord, not because you want to grind us into dust, not because you are disappointed with us as people. You know where we're at in our journey. But Lord, I feel like today you're calling each one of us to have you want to release even just a greater love in our heart for one another, for the church community. God, I'm praying that there's going to be a healing in not only the church community of Eastside, where people have had a negative opinion of church community, but God, we're going to begin to see the great things that you want to do for us together as people. But Lord, that you're not only going to heal Eastside, you're going to heal all of the churches in our city, all of the churches in our nation. Just people will see, Lord, the church is a beautiful thing. It's a good thing. It's a helpful thing. It's a great place. Lord, as we go on this journey together over the next few weeks, would you give us the courage to lay down our preconceived ideas and just allow you to speak to us whatever you want. Lord, it's not my words that are important. God, it's what you want to speak to us. It's what you want to do in our lives. And here's my last thing before we have a time of baptism, is maybe you're here today and you have never given your life to Jesus. We had a couple calls even in our worship time. Charity made a call to people. Hey, if you haven't made a commitment to Jesus, today's a great day. Your pastor Jan, she was like, come on, God wants you. And here today, God's saying all of these benefits that I'm talking about, they come from surrendering your life to Jesus. You see, we need him more than just to save us from our sins. That's where it starts. But we need to let him be the leader of our life. That's where we find true freedom. And last moment, with heads bowed, eyes closed, is there anybody here today that would say, Pastor, I don't have that relationship with Jesus. I want this relationship today. Would you raise your hand? Because I believe Jesus brought you here for this moment. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else today? Thank you. You're in the right place. Let's pray this together, folks. Jesus, I confess that I've sinned. I ask you to forgive me, to free me. Help me to become like you. I thank you for your death, burial and resurrection. And I receive your free gift of eternal life. You know, if you pray that today and you meant it in your heart, God says that you're now a new creation in him. And again, we're excited for you today. And I want to encourage you that before you leave here, you come and talk to one of us leaders or even go to our information desk. You can fill out one of our information cards and let us know, and somebody will reach out to you. But you're part of a greater community, and we're here to help each other grow and become like Jesus. See, folks, I've got a dream over this next season of time that we're going to just see people coming and flooding in here that need more of Jesus. But you know what it starts with? We've got to become more hungry for Jesus. We've got to become more hungry for serving together, walking together, because that's what the world needs to see. They don't see that anywhere else. Selfless people serving Jesus, who's the great King, and I am. Amen. Are you excited today for what God wants to do?